She sort of extended an invitation again to me to attend the church conference. So this time I accepted and promised I would go. During the conference, I surrendered my life to Jesus, and it was a wonderful experience to be born again and to have the assurance of the forgiveness of sins. I got baptized by immersion, and then I learned about the wonderful experience of the Holy Spirit, and I prayed through and was filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I realized I was unworthy, but Jesus didn't leave me in that state. When I surrendered my life to Him, He has transformed my life completely. All the desires of drinking alcohol and other pleasures of this world were washed away by His precious blood. Amen. And as it is written in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the lady I referred to used to share with me about the love of God. Eventually, she became my wife. That's Susan there. And, yeah, we got married in church, and I thank God we are serving the Lord together with our son Favor. By the grace of God, we'll be celebrating our 12th year of marriage this year. And after my transformation then, I started to witness to my friends whom I used to hang out with about Jesus, because, I mean, they were shocked about my transformation. I would witness to them, but they wouldn't take me seriously, knowing how my lifestyle was. Instead of accepting to follow Jesus, they gave me 6 months that we know you. We are giving you 6 months, and we know for sure you would return to your old ways. But to the glory of God, I became stronger, and I will not miss church service. Eventually, they gave up. And as it is written, that if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus has done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. And I would also like to thank God for the privilege of working in this country of Australia, from Zambia, and that God led us to this church and to be part of the great family of Jesus Christ in this church. I give God all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Amen. Thank you.
It is a good thing to hear people's testimonies, isn't it? We have no idea what their life was like, how God did a miracle. It's wonderful to hear that. We're going to ask our second speaker to come up, Sister Marie Chris. If you'd like to welcome Sister Marie Chris.
Thank you. I'm not from Botswana. Praise the Lord. First, I want to give honor to Pastor Jonathan and Sister Melanie for their dedication to the ministry. And thank you for this opportunity to share my testimony and give God praise. Amen. Last November of 2017, I had an episode of loss of consciousness while I was in the shops in Weston. I was about to pay in the counter, and all I remember was the lady in the counter was shouting, "Help, help, is there a doctor here, call the ambulance, help, help. That's all I heard. And I realized I was on the floor and I collapsed. And they were calling for help because of me. And when the paramedics arrived, my blood pressure was very, very low, and I was white as a paper. Because of that incident, I became afraid. I was so afraid. And fear came to me. When you are afraid, you become bound and limited. I can't move. I can't go out. I can't drive. I become dependent on others. I was afraid. It was so real. My mind is saying, it might happen again. What if it happens again? What if it happens? I'm driving. It's going to be a disaster. So I don't want to drive. You know, you become limited when you are afraid. And for some time, I entertained fear. I couldn't do anything. Fear is an enemy of faith. The devil wants us to be afraid. Amen. And the devil wants us to focus on the scary things. And when we do that, we lose our faith. Amen. But God knows what is in my heart. He knows that I am afraid. One Sunday morning, I came to church. I was still fearful, and I prayed to God for my healing. In my prayer, I said, Lord, I don't want to live in fear anymore. You know, you can't do anything. You're bound. And that morning, the presence of the Lord was so, so thick in this place. And there was an interpretation of tongue. And the Lord spoke, and the words were, I am the God that healeth thee. Do not be afraid. Step on the water. The interpretation happened twice that morning. The same message. He's saying that he's the God that heals us. Do not be afraid and step on the water. The words were directly spoken to me. Nobody knew what I was going through. Some people here knows what happened to me, but they don't know that the fear was so real that I can't do anything, you know. But God knows who I am. God knows my situation. Amen. And I cried and cried, and I thanked God. He answered my prayer that morning. I received the word of the Lord, and I went home bold and free. Amen. That afternoon, I came back to church. I drove myself. I was driving. I wasn't afraid anymore. And, you know, before I was saying, I couldn't drive. But then I said, let me drive. The Lord said, don't be afraid. Step on the water. So do it. I told myself, just do it. And every time I'm driving, I'm telling myself, Jesus is with me. What happened to me is already in the past. It's not going to happen again. It's covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. And Jesus healed me. He is with me. Jesus answered my prayer. He didn't just heal me physically, you know. He healed me spiritually. He healed me mentally. He healed me emotionally. Amen. And before we come to this place, God knows the situation in our lives. Amen. And he loves us, and he wants to meet our needs. You see, when you come to Jesus, you will not go home empty-handed. Amen. I came to church with fear and sickness, and I went home with faith. I went home bold. I went home healed, and I went home free. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me, oh God. Amen. When we seek God with all our hearts, he will be found, and he will answer. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. God does not want us to live in fear. He wants us to walk by faith. Amen. So let's have faith, and let us focus on him And he will deliver us, just like he did to me, he delivered me. And I praise God with all my heart for his grace, for his mercy, for his goodness, for the power of his name and the power of his blood. Amen. I praise God for my healing. And I am here today, it's all because of Jesus. And this is my story, and I give God all the glory. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Sister Mary Chris. Wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is alive, isn't he? There's signs and wonders in our midst. Hallelujah. We're going to ask our third speaker to come up tonight, Brother Bill. Let's all welcome him, Brother Bill Vardos. Come and share his testimony.
Thank you for that testimony, Sister. That was very touching. I just was wondering if everyone could just stand to their feet. Let's all stand. And take a deep breath. Take a deep breath in. Take another deep breath. The Bible says that we, that let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen? Come on, church. We need to give Jesus a mighty praise. Because he is worthy of all of our praise. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. So if you want to see God move, we need to give him praise. Amen? Oh, we glorify you, Jesus, and we magnify you, Lord, and we exalt you, Jesus, because you are a God of abundance. Lord, you make ways for us when we have no ways. Oh, Lord, you are higher than anything. Lord, your name is higher and lifted up. We exalt you, Jesus, and we magnify you. Glory and honor be yours forever. Amen. You may be seated, guys. I believe that someone tonight is going to have a God shift, an encounter, a touch from Jesus. Touch the person next to you and say, God is about to shift. Touch the other person next to you, your second choice for whatever reason, I'm not judging, and say, God is about to shift. Come on, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place and do what you can only do. You know, tonight we're going to have a God shift. We're no longer going to think that the ways of this world. We are going to think kingdom-minded. Too many Christians in church don't understand the power that they have in them, Christ being inside of them. You know, we have a lost and dying world out there, and God has given us the church to empower us, amen, to reach those people out there. We do not come to church just to feed ourselves. You know, some of us just have spiritual gluttony where we just keep feeding on these messages. But God wants us to apply it to our lives and go out there and touch other people with the messages that we hear in this place. Yes, praise you, Jesus. Because we all understand that how valuable people are out there. Amen? You know, there's not many things that we're going to be able to take with us into heaven. You will take your character, who you really are, your quirkiness, your sense of humor. All that will come with you. But God wants to change us from the inside. He will change, you know, us to be more like him, more loving, more kind, more patient, the fruits of the Spirit. The second thing that we're going to be able to take into heaven are souls. Yeah? How glorious is that day going to be when we can look around and we can see the people that we have led to Jesus and look them in the eyes and say, man, can you believe this? Can you believe what we're seeing? We made it. How precious is that moment going to be? And we're going to just be able to say, I told you it was all worth it. Everything we've been through on this earth, it was worth it. Amen. You know, Pastor Jonathan asked me to bring a testimony of exaltation. And I did what every good Christian does, panicked. So I went straight to Dr. Google and I looked up the word exaltation. And it said, the action of elevating someone in rank or power. And I thought, yes, that's right. I'm elevating Jesus, who is the highest in ranking and has all power. Amen? Amen? Then it said the exaltation of Jesus to the Father's right hand. This is true. If you look up the word exaltation or Google that, that is what comes up. It also means to elevation, to elevate, rising or rise. But God wanted me to share one specific word tonight, and it was a very hard word for me to bring because I have been going through my own battles. And the value, the word that he gave me was value. Everyone say value. You see, the world values a person by what they own and what they do. Your position and your possessions. Your positions and your possessions. Let me give you some examples. Your house. Your house could be worth $1 million. Your car could be worth $40,000. They're just possessions, but the world will look at that and put a price on you. You know, your job, what you earn, you could be earning $60,000 a year. And we value people in high positions like our prime minister and so forth. And that's just how the world values system works. But God measures value very differently. Praise you, Jesus. When I prayed about this, God said, son, true value comes from who owns you and who owns that possession. Let me explain. If I told you guys that I had a Elvis guitar at home and it was signed by him, you would know that the guitar, whatever brand it was, is worth more than what that it is in the shop. Yeah? Then God said, sorry, why is it worth more? It's worth more because of who owns it. Then God said to me, son, you belong to me. You are not your own. You have been bought with my blood, not by things that are corruptible like silver and gold, but by the precious blood, by my precious blood. That's in 1 Peter 1:18. If you have given your life to Jesus, you belong to him. You are valuable because of who owns you. Amen? Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. The second thing that he told me was, son, you are valuable because of what I was willing to pay for you. You see, the world says that our possessions are only worth what they are willing to pay for them. So as an example, our house, we could think that our house is worth $1 million. But when it goes to market, people are only prepared to pay $600,000 for it. And that's what the people will say. The market will say that's what it's worth. But God says you are valuable because he paid the ultimate price for you. By laying down his life for you, you are worth what God is willing to pay for you. Amen? And he paid it. Paid for all your sins in full so that you can make it to heaven, so that you can be with him. Come on, I want you guys just to give him a shout of praise. Oh, Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, that you left your throne and you came, you humbled yourself, you were born in a stable. Oh, you were mocked and you were whipped and you were beaten for our transgressions. You went to that cross for every single one of us, so that we can make it into heaven. And we praise you and we adore you for that. You know, God taught me a great lesson last year. My wife, Deanna, and I, we run Bible studies on Thursday nights for our group. And we've been doing that for about 3 or 4 years. And we have very different, people that attend from different religions, different backgrounds, different age groups. And we have seen so many miracles. We have seen so many miracles and people just being transformed before our very eyes. But he challenged us about 1.5 years ago, not just to have the head knowledge about the Bible, but to be practical with our faith, to be his hands and feet. So we started up a soup kitchen in the city, and we hold that once a month on the second Friday of each month, and it's for the homeless people. And it was just amazing when we started stepping out in faith that God just started opening the doors for us. You know, when we first started, we had to buy all the supplies. We had to put everything together. But God just started giving us sponsorships. Like we have Ziggy's Fresh and they provide all the ingredients for the soup, like all the vegetables and everything. We have, they give us fruit that we can give away, like soft fruit for homeless people who don't have good teeth. But, you know, they supply us with everything. We have Baker's Delight. They give us all the bread from Thursday night. Whatever's left over, we can take and take as much as we want for out there. You know, our church has backed us up and they've given us so much, all the stuff, all the utensils that we needed was all purchased through the church, like the Bunsen burner, the gas burner and gas bottles and all that sort of stuff. And we also bought gloves and beanies and socks and all that sort of stuff, and we write little scriptures in there and we give it to these homeless people. So when they're in need, we give them what they need. But I remember one night we were out there and it was just so quiet. It was so quiet, guys. And we had one lady and she just kept complaining. She just kept nagging. I mean, and I was thinking, wow, we're out here giving you free food, but you're still complaining. And she was just saying, you know what? There's already been people come here in the morning. They came and they gave us food. Then we had, you know, other people come at lunchtime and they gave us food. See, no one wants your food. No one's here. No one wants your food. And for a second, I started believing it. I thought, you know what? Maybe we're doing the wrong thing here. Like maybe we should just stop doing this soup kitchen. Maybe God doesn't want us to do this. You know, no one's coming up. No one wants our food, you know. So I started believing her lies. And then there was this guy and he came up and he took some soup and he sat on the bench not too far away from us. And there was a bin right next to it. And I walked over and I was just chucking some rubbish in the bin and I said, hey, mate, how's that soup? First I said to him, how are you going? And he said, good. And I said, oh, that's good. I go, how's your soup? And he said, oh, fantastic. Thank you. It's so grateful. So I started walking back to where our stand was. And halfway as I was walking back, God just spoke to me so clearly, go back and ask him how he really is. And I don't know about you guys, but I was like battling with God because I'm thinking, God, he's going to think I'm crazy. If I walk back over to him and ask him the same question that I just asked him, he's going to think that there's something wrong with me. But I was obedient. I thought, you know what, God, I'm just going to do it and I'll see what happens. So I walked over to him and I thought, I'm going to rephrase the question so he doesn't think that I'm too crazy. And I walked over to him and I said, mate, how is life really treating you? This guy looked at me like a deer in headlights and he stopped eating and he looked up at me and he said, today's been the worst day of my life. And I said, why? And he said, I lost my best friend today. I've just come back from the funeral and I went back to the house and I couldn't bear being in the house, so I came out to Civic. So basically the short story is that this guy was taken in by this man and he was homeless and he gave him a roof. And he was with him for about 15 years, living under his roof. And he felt really awkward to go back to the house where the family was still there, but his friend wasn't there. His friend died at 52 years old. And he was like, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And at that moment, I just knew that, you know what? I just need to talk to him about Jesus. So I talked to him about my testimony and how good God is, and had a half an hour conversation with him about how good God is. And he looked at me and he said, you know what? He goes, I never thought that I was going to come out here tonight and encounter this conversation, this whole moment. And I embraced him, we hugged, I got to pray for his situation. I don't know what happened with it, okay? I don't know, I haven't seen the guy since then, but the seed was planted. Yeah, so he's in God's hands. Last Friday, we were out there, and again, we sort of started feeling like, hang on, there's not too many people coming up. These two little kids came up. One was 10, one was 6, and the mother stayed a little bit further back, just sort of sussing out, what are we doing? And the kids came up, and I thought, well, what are the kids doing? Because they were just sort of hanging around, and I gave the little one a fist bump. And I said to him, would you like some soup? And he said, yes, please. And I thought, oh, wow. So I gave him some soup. And then the mother came over. And the mother came over and she was just in awe of what we were doing. She was like, I can't believe, why are you guys doing this? You know, and my wife just started giving her bread. She's like, do you want some bread? Do you want some food? And we just started giving her some of our supplies. And at that moment, another lady that was with us, Jessica, walked around and put $20 into her bag that she was holding. And she was like, no, 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 no. I don't want your money. I don't want your money. No, we don't, you know, that's not what I'm about. And she's like, no, God's asked me to give you this. I need to give you this. So she got some money. And then we had a designer jacket that Jessica had as well from Italy. This jacket was beautiful. And when she put it on, she looked fantastic because this lady was just wearing like a little tank top. And she was cold. It was cold on Friday night. And she got a jacket on and she was just, she started crying. She was just a mess. She was just like, I can't believe how kind you guys have been. Why? And she just kept asking why. And my wife walked around and embraced her and hugged her and prayed over her. And they exchanged phone numbers and then she forgot her little coffee cup that she was carrying. So I ran over to her to give her back her coffee cup. And she's like, and still she was beside herself. She's like, I just can't understand why. Why do you guys do this? And I said, because you're valued. Because you're valued and God loves you, that's why we do this. Because he has changed our lives. Jesus is real and he has impacted our lives and that's why we are the way we are. And then she said to me, you know, when I grew up, I was christened, she said to me. And I said, yep. And she goes, my kids have never been to church. And I said, you know what? You need to get into church. And I go, where do you live? And she said, oh, in Stirling. And I didn't know where that was, so don't judge me. And I said, oh, there should be a good church in Stirling. And then the lady that was with me, Helen, she's like, Bill, that's right next to your church, Chifley, Stirling. It's right there. And so long story short, she's been in communication with my wife and she would love to come to our church. So praise God. You know, when we first started doing our soup kitchen, I thought it was all about just feeding people, give them as much food as we could. But the Lord spoke to me and said, you know what? Your food will sustain them for a couple of hours, but my word will sustain them forever. So it really opened my eyes of what we were doing out there. It wasn't just providing their need for that moment, but it's that time that we can actually share and minister to people. And it's been amazing because it's helping us to grow in our faith, but seeing what God's doing through us. You know, God's ways are higher than our ways, and the way that he thinks is so different to this world. I mean, who leaves the 99 sheep for the one? Jesus. You know, we just need to understand that we are so valuable in God's eyes. You know, if I had a $100 bill right now, I would try to do a cool analogy, but I don't have a $100 bill because I've got three kids. But basically, imagine if I had a $100 bill. If I crunched that all up and it was all wrinkled and I took it outside in the car park or on the grass and I smeared it into the ground, right, it would look really messy, but the bottom line is it's still worth $100. Our value, it doesn't matter about our sin that we had on our lives or have on our lives, we're still valuable in God's eyes. Amen. And so are all those people out there. They're all valuable. Don't be scared to minister to people because that's where God gets all the glory. And that's when you get to witness God moving. Amen. I hope this spoke to someone tonight, and all the glory and all the praise goes to Jesus. Amen.